joining us live from the West Coast. Where are you? San Jose today, Coach? Is that where you are? Where are you today?
Santa Clara, Glenn.
Santa Clara, California.
My old home.
Well, it's good to talk to you. And a nice win yesterday.
Thank you. Yeah, that was a great win. Fred, Steve, Pete, you there too?
Coach? I'm always here, Coach.
Pete's all right, great. Well, hey, I'm surprised you guys didn't come out here. I just want to let you know it's 80 degrees and that's 80 and sunny, and that's the forecast for the next week. So
how many
I'm sure you'd love it.
Yeah, how many times have you told us this? I'm surprised you guys didn't come out. Well, haven't you figured it out yet? They don't allow us out of the house. They're afraid.
Fred has interstate travel restrictions.
There's some good motorcycling out here too, Fred.
Oh, great.
You know, ever since they put the restrictions on fat guys in a plane, we just don't fly anymore.
That's right. Ever since I had to buy two seats just to fly somewhere, I decided to give it up.
Are you guys going to ride this week?
We figured you'd be out windsurfing maybe, or maybe up in Napa checking out the vineyards.
Good wines up there, Bill. Some real good wines. All right, let's get talking a little bit about the game. Let me start defensively. After the first quarter, certainly the defense seemed to play great. Can you explain to us a little bit about how you did have a lot of – you started with a 3-4-4-3. You got single the defensive lineman, nickel, dime. You were trying a lot of different things with a lot of different personnel out there. What were you actually doing?
I think the defensive staff had a real good game plan and had the players well prepared for this game. We used some different combinations on the fronts, 4-man line, 3-man line, 2-1, and gave them some different looks. And I thought that overall in the passing game, a number of guys got a chance to play kind of in passing situations. Will Height, Wheatley, Guyton, Pierre Woods, Jarvis Green, Mike Wright, guys like that, and they really did a good job. And then the guys in the running game, Teddy and Gerard, Vince, Ty Warren, Richard, those guys really did a good job in the running game, and that kind of with the offensive production turned it into a one-dimensional game there by about middle of the third quarter and into the fourth quarter. So there weren't too many runs, and we were rushing the passer a lot, and we were able to play some of those subgroupings a little bit more because of the game situation. But, individually, thought a lot of players really, played well and contributed a lot to the win defensively. It wasn't just the 10 or 11 guys. It was, probably more like 16.
Obviously, you're doing it based on what they're doing and the offense they're running. But was part of it deception, or was it just to have quicker guys out there with that passing game? Or a combination of both of them, I guess.
I think a little bit of both. Just maybe, just change up a little bit, Glenn. Kind of like a pitcher having three or four different pitchers. He's got a fastball and an off-speed pitch and some kind of breaking pitch. And so, with more bigger linemen out there, you're a little more powerful team, especially with guys like, Seymour and Warren and Will Fork. And then with some of the other groupings, like Woods and Thomas and Vrabel and Guyton and Harrison, you're a little faster, quicker team where, maybe find a spot in between. And along with that, we had a couple calls that carried travel with different groups, so everything wasn't, didn't look quite the same to the quarterback. Sometimes Rodney would be deep, sometimes he'd be closer to the line of scrimmage, sometimes he'd be as a linebacker. And so I think, identifying that and kind of figuring out who was a little bit of part of the plan. But, in the end, it came down to we had to cover them and we had to tackle them and we had to defend them in the blocking patterns in the running game, and the players did a good job of that.
At the beginning of the game, it seemed like there was a couple guys who were open.
Go ahead. We missed Bruce on one. We missed Johnson on another one that I think that the ball was dropped or a little bit overthrown, but Bruce got us on the scissors route, and then Gore made a good catch, and then we blitzed down in the red area, and Bruce ran a double move, and really quarterback, they had a lot of time on that play, and Bruce came in and ran like he was going to run a post and then broke back out of it, and O'Sullivan hit him on that. So, we had a few plays that, weren't played the way we would like to play them, but again, going against Mars's offense and the skill players they had, there's going to be a little bit of that. Going into the game, they had the second most big plays of any team in the league. So they're an explosive team. We just try to keep a little bit of a lid on it. I think it's hard to realistically think you're going to going to shut that down completely because they, you know, they do it so much.
But that's what the game was. It wasn't, they didn't have a consistent offense. It was a stop, stop them, they're out, then they come in, and all of a sudden it's a scramble, chuck down the field for 40 yards. And,
right.
And that's what you see on the film.
No, that they hit us on that, and you know, we got a pass interference on it, and then, you know, Merriweather picked one off, and, you know, and then there were quite a few three and outs. I think there were, what, they have seven possessions where they ran three or fewer players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got us some, and, you know, we got them a few times, too. So I think in the end it, you know, evened out maybe a little bit in our favor.
Early on, Castle hits Randy Moss for a long play. Was that something you saw that would be available through in your scouting, or is it just came up early on in the game?
Well, I think one of the things we wanted to try to do in this game, Steve, is to try to get Randy on their safeties. You know, Clements and Harris are both, you know, very experienced corners and pretty good coverage guys. And what actually happened on that play was they ran a corner blitz. They brought the outside linebacker in a weak corner, both from our left side, Terrell Brown, and they had Walt Harris, who was actually playing inside in the nickelback kind of position, and they ran him in the deep part of the field, and just kind of looked like on the play they didn't quite have the leverage that they needed on the route, and Randy kind of split, you know, split Clements and Harris on the play, and, you know, Matt made a great throw and just put it up there, and, you know, Randy ran under it. So, you know, I don't think we practiced that play against that corner blitz, to be honest with you, but we obviously practiced against some other looks, and that's kind of the way it came up, and Randy and Matt, you know, made a real nice adjustment and, you know, got it out there for, you know, it was a huge play for us.
And the half roll that Castle did, that wasn't pre-planned, that was something he saw with that pressure you talked about?
Yeah, he kind of rolled away from the corner pressure. Mm-hmm. They were in a what we call an under front, so they had three linemen over there, and then they brought a linebacker to try to tie up our back, and then Falk, and then brought the corner off the edge, figuring that he would be the extra guy, and you know, Castle saw that, and they really didn't have the rush on the other side of the ball, didn't get upfield and contain him, so he was able to kind of run away from the corner a little bit, which a lot of quarterbacks do that. They see a guy coming, and they sort of drift away from him to get that extra half second to, you know, to throw the ball. So that's pretty much what happened on that play.
Coach, I thought you guys did a real good job of forcing O'Sullivan out of the pocket for most of the game or a number of plays. Is that something that you saw previously in game film that you wanted to do?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we want to try to get him out of the pocket and put him on the run a little bit. And, you know, once the quarterback starts scrambling, you pretty much limit the passing field to, you know, half a field or less. You know, it's hard to, you know, stop and throw back across the field and that kind of thing. So we were trying to do that. We just had a little trouble catching him. You know, he's a quick, athletic guy, and looked like three or four times we either were going to get him or we were real close to getting him, and we just couldn't quite get him in the backfield. So, you know, it shows you what kind of athlete and what kind of quickness he has. But in the end, I think it affected the passing game, and that's really what we were trying to do, was to disrupt the timing and you know, make him kind of throw improvision plays rather than, you know, throw him on time and hit those deep end cuts and post routes.
Bill, on that challenge on the spot of the ball for the first down, did you even have to wait to hear from the guys upstairs? Seemed like you called it. You threw it pretty quickly.
Well, I thought, you know, I was on the other side of the field, so I didn't get a great look at it. I thought when Kevin, you know, was hit and kind of spun around and came down, it looked to me like he definitely had the first down. And then when they spotted the ball, you know, came up, you know, a little bit short, but it just seemed like he was a lot further than that. And the coaches up in the booth got a look at it, and they said, you know, that they felt like his forward progress was up to that he came down kind of on that hash mark line. And they spotted the ball about halfway between the yard line and the hash mark. So it's about a half yard difference, but it was, there was a line right there, they felt like, that we, you know, had gained a little bit more progress. And so, that's kind of how that happened.
Yeah, they may have thought that his knee came down mm-hmm. early, but he stretched out and seemed to gain an extra foot on that. When you looked at the replay, because when I first saw
he was digging for the. You could tell, right. Coach, when he was, he knew where the yard marker was and spun, was driving upfield when he was getting hit.
Right, right.
And on the other hand, we watched Maroney. It looked like he was hurt. He got to the out of bounds, and the yard mark was right in front of him, and he kind of sidestepped out of bounds. Was he injured? Was he okay?
Yeah. He's all right. I think. I'm not. I know what you mean on that play, Fred. I'm not sure. You know whether he was aware of the down marker there or saw it, but yeah. It was a very similar play to the one that Kevin had, and
yep.
You know you'd like to pick those up. I mean, as it turned out on Kevin's play, I know I was kind of thinking about it last night. You know, it was only third down. We probably would have gone for it on fourth down there. If, you know, it'd have been you know just a couple inches. So I don't know if really challenging it, you know, getting out on second down was that you know that valuable for us. But you hate to turn down a first down in that kind of situation when you know you have the lead and the clock's running. So it was, in the end, I guess it was a good decision.
All right, watching the progression of Matt Castle, he threw the ball pretty well yesterday. Still looks comfortable in the pocket. Is it getting a little more game plan? It looks like he's more comfortable in reading things a little bit better. Is that what you're seeing on the film?
No, definitely. Yeah, I think it's getting better every week, Fred. I think Matt's improved every week and you know, our passing game is getting a little bit sharper. The receivers and their routes and the distribution on the patterns is a little bit better. And the, you know, timing and throwing and all that. You know, everybody's worked hard at it. And, you know, it's been, you know, this is Matt's fourth game. You know, it's our fourth game as a team, not just Matt. But, you know, it's our fourth game as a team. And, you know, you'd certainly like to think that all those practices and those games would, you know, improve your timing and your execution, and I think it has, and it should.
Is there anything you can do in particular? Is it extra film work, or is there working one-on-one with a coach or whatever that can sort of make up for that lack of reps?
Well, you know, I'm sure that's part of it. You know, just knowing where your teammate's going to be and how he's going to, you know, run the route against a certain technique. And, yeah, that's all part of preparation. I think whether you're, you know, a rookie or a four-year veteran or a 10-year veteran. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in the end, a lot of that has to come on the field in terms of just, you know, really seeing spatially what the relationship is between the receiver, the defender, and, you know, where the quarterback's going to put the ball from a location standpoint. But, I mean, I think all those are a part of it. But don't forget, though, Matt's had more reps with you know, the receivers this year than anybody has.
Right.
And that was even true going into the opening week against Kansas City. So, you know, obviously Tom's had them over the course of his career and through the years, but, you know, for the 08 season, you know, Castle's gotten a lot of reps in practice. He's gotten a lot of reps in preseason, regular season games. So, there's always work to be done, don't get me wrong, but I think that, you know, overall, like we saw yesterday, there were some pretty, you know, pretty well-executed passes there, whether it was the long pass to Moss or and the outcuts to Moss and those kind of things, or whether it was, you know, those little slants to Welker or, you know, Gaffney's plays on third down or, you know, the screen passes to Falk or, you know, Watson's plays. You know, that there was a lot of good throws and, you know, the balls are right on the money. I mean, you didn't see him. I thought Matt's accuracy was excellent.
I think you'll get a kick out of the fact that on television, on that direct snap play to Falk, it was mentioned that they stole a play from
maybe
the Miami Dolphins from a week ago. Sure,
you haven't seen us do that before.
No,
have you?
No, I've never seen that before. It's amazing to me. I get a kick out of that. But why does it work so flawlessly every single time? Different quarterback this time. He sold it, obviously. But why does it work so flawlessly every single time, Bill?
I wish I knew, Glenn. I don't know. You just, I mean, play was well executed. You know, Dan made it a good snap, and you know, Kevin got a good read on the play. Logan Mankins made a key block on the nose, and then, you know, bounced up to Spikes, and, you know, Kevin kind of ran off the safety coming down. So, You know, it's good blocking by Light, Mankins, and Coben at the point of attack, and the cutoff blocks on the backside by, you know, Yates and Kaiser, and you know, Falk made a, you know, made a nice cut, and you know, was able to squirt through there at the goal line. So,
Coach, and a couple times the left defensive end was getting a real nice jump on the ball. Is Matt going on the same cadence just because he's to get comfortable, or does he change up his cadence very frequently?
Yeah, you know, we definitely change it up, Fred, and you know, we try to, you know, make everybody aware, the quarterback and when we're at home, but it's really the center when we're on the road,
yeah,
who controls the cadence with the, you know, the head bobbing and the timing and all that. So, but you're right. I noticed that, as you did, and we certainly did watch in the film that, they're getting a little jump, at times. I don't know whether he was, you know, McDonald was guessing or whether he had a key or whatever, but, you know, that's something that we got to be conscious of. And you certainly, it's hard enough, you know, when the offense has the advantage on the snap count, but, you know, to have the defense beating you off the ball, then that can make it real difficult. So we've got to make sure that we protect that advantage and you know, keep them off balance with our cadence and our rhythm and our, you know, hand gestures or head bobs or, you know, whatever it is. So that's something that we'll take a look at and we'll, you know, work on this week.
And one thing you got to be careful of, I mean, those nose tag, when I was playing, I read the quarterback's lips.
Here we go.
You know, you would. You've got the color on one. I'd practice that.
Hey,
go in the streets.
This is coming from a guy who doesn't even move his lips when he talks.
You can read the quarterback's lips if you're not careful. A defensive lineman will watch him call in the huddle if he's facing up. You know, they can read the lips on one, or on two. They can do that.
Like, did that make Dan Fouts a ventriloquist? Because he drew
they
you off.
It up on me. That's why they never caught me off sides.
That's right. How do you gauge the overall play of your offensive line 1/4 of the way through the season here?
You know, I think overall, Steve, it's been, you know, pretty good. It obviously, it could always be better. And, you know, I know there's a tendency probably by some people, fans or media or whoever, to, you know, look at one number, sacks, and say, well, that's, you know, that's all the offensive line. And mm-hmm. So if it's good, then the line's great. And if there's more sacks, then it's all the line's fault. And, of course, I think we all know that that's a pretty inaccurate statistic. But, you know, we've been able to run the ball with some consistency. And I thought yesterday one of the best things we did was we made some tough yards, you know, the third and ones and the, you know, the two runs on the two-yard line in critical situations. And, you know, those are the plays to me that really count, are to be able to run the ball when you know, when you got to run it, or like in the Jets game when we were able to, you know, run out the clock in the fourth quarter with, you know, Lamont and some of those runs. So, you know, I think it's been pretty good. And we had a little bit of juggling there in preseason when Light was out and Nick played a little bit of left tackle and went back to right tackle. Billy's done a good job at right guard. And, you know, now we've got a little bit more of, you know, some consistency there. These five guys playing, you know, just about all the snaps in the first four games. But, you know, there's always room for improvement, and we can still do things better, and we can protect better, and we can run block better, and you know, we can help ourselves in the passing game by, you know, not holding the ball quite as long, by getting open quicker and getting rid of the ball quicker. So, but, you know, overall, I think they've done a pretty good job.
Now, a young Buffalo-born kicker, how far do you think he could kick? I mean, that 49-yard field goal looked like it was good from 60. Mm. How strong is his leg this year? He just is.
Well, you know, he kicked a 60-yarder going that direction in pregame warm-ups, Fred. Yeah. So, honestly, I think that, you know, distance from 60, I don't think that would have been a problem. It wouldn't have been a problem on that kick. It looked like that kick would have been good, yeah, from 80. But, you know, the problem is, to me, is trying 60 and 62-yard field goals and that kind of thing. If it's the last play of the half, that's one thing. But if it's just a normal situation, you're giving up a lot of field position.
Yeah.
If, you know, if you try a 60-yarder and you miss from midfield, then, you know, you're giving up half the field right there. And that's, you know, that's the risk you take. So, like I said, it's the end of the half, no problem. If it's you know, with a 6-point lead, you know, how far can you, you know, how much pressure can you put on your kicker to make one of those where the percentages are, no matter how good your kicker is, those percentages drop, and what kind of field position you're giving up on the other at the end of the play. So,
having said all that, Bill, do you make decisions a little bit differently this year than you would last year based on how good he's been?
You know, I don't think so. I really don't, Glenn. I think that, you know, for 4 years, and Steve's made a lot of big kicks for us, and, you know, when you have a situation and you feel like, for whatever the reasons, you know, we're going to kick this, I've sent him out there. I've always felt confident that he was going to make it. And, you know, there are other times where we've gone for it, you know, on fourth down for because of different strategic situations or whatever the case might be. And those are decisions not based on whether I had confidence in our kicker or not. I have a lot of confidence in Steve. It was just based on the game situation and what, you know, what we felt like was best in that game at that particular time. Now, you know, that's always subject to second guessing. I mean, I understand that, but that's really what, you know, what it's based on. It's not, but, you know, whether I think a player can do his job when we send him out there. If I didn't think he could do it, then we'd have somebody else doing the kicking.
Do you think he has the strongest leg out of any kick you've ever had?
Of any kicker I've had, yes.
I mean, he's kicking. How many?
The kickoffs, unbelievable. The field position, the difference in the field position for most of these games has been remarkable because you've had some good returns, and he just pins people back. Yeah. It's amazing.
It takes a lot of weapons away.
Yeah. Well, I think combination of good kicking, which it not only does Steve kick him deep, but he also has good hang time on the ball, and that's. But I think our coverage has been good. You know, Ventrone and you know, some of our coverage players, Aiken and Izzo and
Pierre Woods was great.
Guyton and Merriweather and Slater and Will Hyde and Ellis and those guys, you know, have done a good job of covering them as well. And so when you combine those two forces, then, you know, you end up with a play like we had yesterday where we, you know, make the tackle on the 13-yard line and, you know, put them 87 yards away.
Yeah.
That's, you know, defensively, we've had very good field position, you know, all year.
Defensively, the play of your linebackers, you've always had very active linebackers. Seems like they've done a fairly good job this year, and you've moved. It looks like Gary Guyton is getting more reps than most people thought he would.
Well, I think that's probably true, Steve. I think that, you know, Gary's one of those players that has had some opportunities for play time and has made plays when he's had those opportunities, and that, of course, has led to more opportunities. And I think yesterday was, you know, a good example. But he's been doing that, you know, kind of through the whole, you know, all 8 games, 4 preseason games and the 8 regular season games. And the fact that he's been durable, he's there every day. He works hard. He gets better every day. He's a smart kid. And he's a versatile player. So he's made plays in pass coverage for us. He's made plays as a blitzer. He's made plays in the running game. And he's made plays on special teams. And I thought the tackle that he had there on Rossum on that last kickoff return was a, you know, real nice play where he, you know, shed the blocker, made the tackle. He thought he rushed well yesterday, and, you know, they really ended up taking Gore out of the game there at the end. You know, Gary was doing a good job of rushing him. He's covered well, made a couple good tackles, like on the, you know, in the running game. And so, you know, and he's just seems to be getting a little bit better each week. And as he keeps playing better, he'll keep getting more opportunities.
All right, let's talk about Sunday's game. The San Diego Chargers, who went into Miami and came out with a loss yesterday. No Sean Merriman. How different is their defense now without Merriman?
Well, I don't really think it's too much different, Glenn. They still do the same thing, and they've
they get as much pressure on the quarterback.
They still get quite a bit. Yeah, they still get quite a bit. I mean, they have a good front, and they like to pressure a lot. You know, Cottrell likes to bring five blitzers a lot, whether it's, you know, the outside linebackers or two off a side or two up the middle or, you know, whatever. He has different combinations. So there's they rush five probably, you know, 40% of the time. So, but they have a good front and they're aggressive. And but I think the big thing on the pass rush, as we all know, is if you know they got a pass, it's a lot easier to rush. And you know, San Diego hasn't really been in that situation too much other than the Jet game where they've been ahead and, you know, been significantly ahead where, you know, the other team's just got to go back and throw all the time. They've either been, you know, they're down 15-0 against Oakland. You know, they're behind last week. They, you know, had a lead against Carolina, but that was kind of a back-and-forth game. So, you know, I think that's limited their pass rush like it would any team's. Just, you know, the amount of long yardage and scoring and when the situation score-wise puts you in that kind of a mode, it's a lot easier to rush.
How potent is that offense? I mean, yesterday against Miami, Miami shut them down. We saw Miami when they're on a roll, but they have so many different weapons, and the quarterback is a very accurate, big, strong kid. I mean, how dangerous is that offense compared to the offenses you played in the past?
They're very dangerous, and you know, the guy that's been a little more involved in the offense this year than in the past, and not that he hasn't been involved in the past, but it's been Sproles. And he's made some huge plays, and not just in the kicking game, but, you know, offensively, whether it's on those swing passes or screens or even the runs, you know, some of those cutback runs. He's literally, a threat to go the distance every time he gets the ball. And, you know, we've always felt like that playing against Leon Washington with the Jets. I think Sproles is similar to Washington, only faster.
Oh, really?
You know, he's got more long speed and, you know, he's more of a, you know, more of a guy that can go the distance. And like Washington, he's hard to tackle and he's quick and, you know, he makes a lot of guys miss, but he's got tremendous long speed. So
does Tomlinson look fully recovered from whatever injuries were slowing him down?
I think he does, Steve. I think he got off to a little bit of a slow start in the first couple of games against Carolina and Denver, but he looked pretty good against the Jets, and then last week against Oakland. I haven't seen the Miami game, but looks like he's running with good power and good quickness and good speed. And but that's a pretty tough combination, you know, with Tomlinson and Sproles. You know, either one of those guys in the game, you got to really. There's not much margin for error.
Talking about Darren Sproles, and we're talking about the special teams. What do you do differently against a guy like him or Hester? How much goes into, obviously, you got a game plan on how you're going to play it, but these are guys that can get seven for you just like that. Do you play them differently than you would with most return teams?
Kicking away from kickoffs, you know, I think you want to make sure that you give them as little space as possible to work in, let's put it that way. You try to, you know, cut down the field on them. And whether that's directional kicking, whether it's, putting a speed player at a particular point in your coverage where you hope that he's the first one down and then the ball can't get outside of him, not necessarily the outside guy, but, you know, say if it was one of your interior guys and, you know, say it was one of your interior guys on the left and you kicked the ball to the right, and he was able to get down the field, down to the 20-15-yard line, well, you maybe would be able to cut off a third of the field that way. So, you know, there's different ways of doing it. In the end, I think you want to have players out there that are, you know, in some way you cut down the field strategically, and then you have guys that are fast and athletic enough to tackle them, particularly your safeties, so that even if he breaks the first line of coverage, that at least you can get him down, you know, hopefully around the 30, 35-yard line and not give up a 100-yard score. So in a punting game, you got two choices, really. You can either, try to put more hang time on the ball and give up a little distance and try to cut down the return that way, or, you know, if you feel like your coverage is good enough to cover the field against them, then do the same thing. Try to kick the ball into a corner or into part of the field, half of the field, and try to, you know, cut down the size of your lanes where you're only covering, you know, a certain percentage of the field rather than just, you know, driving it right down the middle and deep and, you know, giving a guy like that you know, sideline to sideline running room.
Well, Coach, enjoy your windsurfing out there and your tour of the grape country.
And by the way, Coach, have you checked? Have any guys booked that flight to Vegas yet? Anybody book it?
I don't think anybody's going to be on that one.
Josh is sponsoring a trip.
How is it at San Jose State? How are the practice facilities over there?
You know, they have a nice little setup, Steve. They got two practice fields right next to the stadium, and the locker room and weight room and all that. It's fine, really. We have our meetings here at the hotel and our meals and all that. So we just really go over there for practice and to lift weights and to change. But it's, it's a good facility. They have a nice program, and, it'll be fine.
How important is that the schedule that you're going to keep during the week?
How what?
How important is keeping as close as you can to a normal schedule?
Well, I think everybody has a comfort level in the routine. You know what you do on Wednesday. You know what you do on Thursday. You know what you do on Friday. So you can kind of pace yourself and make sure that you're on your personal preparation schedule. You know, whether it be physically lifting or, you know, massages or, whatever it happens to be, as well as, you know, studying first down and third down and the kicking game and, you know, how you break that down, weekly. So, really, this is kind of like a home game for us. I know it sounds stupid to say that, but it really is. It's like we played at home yesterday, and we're here. We didn't travel. We get up and do our thing today, watch the film, and break down the Miami game with San Diego and start game planning and lift. We'll let the players lift weights in the morning, and we're ready to go. And then Saturday will be a road game for us where we'll have our Saturday schedule and then get on the plane and fly down to San Diego. So
like an East Coast game, basically, right?
Yeah, they're right. It'll be a short trip. So, to me, the real benefit of staying out here comes, you know, on Monday and Tuesday. So instead of flying back Sunday night and dragging through Monday and watching the tape with one eye open and the other eye half shut, we got a good night's rest. We're alert. Everybody got a good workout in this morning, and we'll kind of take a little break tomorrow for the players, and the coaches will do their game planning thing and scouting reports and all that. And Wednesday we should be ready to go. And I think when you're on the other end of this, flying back, you kind of stagger through Monday, and then Tuesdays you're behind and you're trying to scramble to catch up a little bit, but you're not quite as fresh as you would normally be on Tuesday, and you're just trying to catch up through the whole week. And I don't think we'll be experiencing that, and hopefully that'll pay off for us in the week of preparation.
I was going to say,
as long as the facilities and everything else are good here, which I think they are.
I was just going to say, Bill, if it does catch up to you, it's going to be next Monday or Tuesday, and you don't play until Monday, so that gives you that extra day to maybe recover, coming back.
Right. I think coming back, Glenn, that's exactly right. I think coming back next week, that what we'll want to do is take advantage of that extra day and just use that to kind of,
reset the clock.
Offset the West Coast trip and then kind of have a normal, normal preparation towards like a, Sunday to Sunday game.
Right.
But just, use that extra day and then push it all back to Monday.
Who's picking out the food for the for the team meal?
Pardon?
Who's picking out the food for the team meal? Because I'm pretty good at that stuff.
Our food service and all that it's really the same as what we have at the stadium. Have the same kind of the same menu, the same selection of items, and just the hotel prepares it. And so I think guys are pretty comfortable with. In fact, I met with the captains a little bit earlier today and just said, is there anything that you guys aren't comfortable with, or you'd like to see set up a little bit differently, or you're not that you need that you don't feel is quite in place or whatever. And I think everybody felt the same way that, it's just pretty much what we normally have, and we're comfortable with it. So that's what I wanted to hear.
All right, time for our cleanenergyaction.net coach's question of the week. And this question comes.
Are you sitting down, Bill?
Yeah, I'm down.
This question comes from Mike Shea of Fitchburg. And Mike asks, other than quarterback, how did you know that Bill was already going to say quarterback on this one? Other than quarterback, what is the toughest position to fill on an NFL roster?
Nose tackle.
Of course.
The toughest position to
fill? I'm not sure what that means.
What toughest position?
To fill on a roster, I guess, when you're putting your roster together.
I'd say nose tackle.
Competent linebacker / long snapper, obviously.
I don't think so.
What?
Bill, it's obviously.
That's really a tough question.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't either.
Yep. They're all important, and I think there's different philosophies of building a team. Some people would say build from the inside out, quarterback, running back, nose tackle, inside linebacker, safety, and then there are other people that really believe in building from the outside in, corner, wide receiver, tight end, outside pass rusher, and so. And obviously there's a place for both. And, in the end, you'd like to have all of them. So I think there are different philosophies on that. To me, the most important player the best thing about a football player for your team is somebody that can do their complete job, first, second, third down, that they can do what you need them to do at that position. So if you can get a player that can play three downs and do his job on each one of those downs, then you really feel solid about that position.
So the answer would not be punter then?
No.
You're a good punter.
Well,
dime a dozen.
I guess, let me say this, Glenn. I guess if the hypothesis is that the most important position on your football team is starting quarterback, then, you're one play away from the next guy being pretty important, too.
I guess so.
Mm-hmm.
Every Monday, Patriots Monday this year, when we talk to the coach, we'll give you a chance to submit your question for us. Ask the coach, WEEI.com's football page. If your question is chosen, you'll automatically win a $100 gift card to the all-new Davios right there at Patriot Place. The coach's question is powered all season by CleanEnergyAction.net. When you log on to CleanEnergyAction.net, you'll find that a strong wind could do a lot more than push that winning field goal through the uprights. Tackle your energy cost and alternatives at CleanEnergyAction.net today. Now, I don't know what the drill is next week because I'm not sure when you guys are getting back here, but we'll talk to you sometime at the beginning of next week, I would suspect.
Sounds good.
Is,
yep, right? Sounds good, Glenn.
Well, have a great week out there, and good luck on Sunday.
All right, we'll think about you on these 80-degree practice days.
Stop it. You know what? Stop it. You don't have to rub it in back here. Please. Thank you.
All right.
All right, Bill.
Okay, Glenn. Appreciate it. Steve, Fred, Pete. Talk to you next week.
See you.